Okay, so we looked at the topic, we talked about the past, we talked about the present. I'd now like to talk to you about the general areas in which I think there will be affirmative cases on this topic. Now, in just a moment, we're going to have a panel discussion by students who went to institutes, and they learned a lot about arguments, and they're going to talk about the arguments they interacted with and what they worked on. In the spring, I spent about a month studying and reading as much as I could, a good solid month of pain and suffering to put together the debate handbook with my students. So what I'd like to talk about are the areas in which the affirmative will be, can adopt affirmative cases. Now, if you want to win, do you think you should write an affirmative case that everyone just got a copy of today? No. You need to write one that they're not familiar with, that you know all about and they don't. This is how you will succeed in life. You'll know more about what you're talking about than those who are arrayed against you. And when you do, you'll have the upper hand. Don't wait till later to get started now. There are basically six areas I want to talk about that I expect there to be affirmative cases on. And who's going to be time signals? I'll just talk for the rest of the day if I'm left. Is Melissa going to do that? Okay, that's fine. Just yell at me when I should. So like this. What do you do when your partner's giving a speech and they keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over again? No. Come on. Come on, boy. Alright. Feel free to do that. Okay? Educational policy to increase academic achievement. Here's six areas. Area number one. Day and time. Day and time measures. How much did you go to school? When should you go to school? Over one third of all the reforms introduced in high schools in the last 20 years have been of this type. Here are some of the things that affirmative teams could do. Now, this may sound nasty to you, so I'm sorry. Not all these are necessarily things that students will like, but school reform happens because parents want them, and teachers want them, and administrators want them, not necessarily because of students. Longer days. Oh, let's start at 7 and go until 4:30. Why, in Japan, they go to school all the time. And the idea is, if you go to school longer, you'll learn more. Longer years. Let's start on August 1st. And we'll go to June 20th. Or let's have year-round school. A lot of people are talking about having school all year long. Now, why do you think that school didn't necessarily operate here? For those of you who don't think that schools and factories work together, why do they have no school in summer? Because that's when workers take their vacation. The school is synced up to the work schedule. Block scheduling. Does know about block scheduling? It could be, you know, every day you have first hour is English, second hour is civics, and the third hour is. But some schools have block scheduling where you have longer class periods, but you don't have them every day. Like you would have an hour and a half of English three times a week instead of 50 minutes of English every single day. And the thought about block scheduling is it allows you to really get into the subject as you have more time. I mean, you know what a 50-minute class period is like. It takes 5 to 10 minutes for everybody to sit down and shut up. And then the last 5 minutes, everybody's looking at the clock, waiting to get off work. Oh, I mean get out of school. Students and workers do the same thing. The last 15 minutes, they watch the clock. Now that's not, they're just training you to do the right thing when you get to work. Class time is another thing that's been talked about. In Utah, they have an average of 33 students in every class. I see a lot of kids out there, I don't know why, but I'll find out someday. And the argument is that if you have fewer students in a class, everybody gets better education. So if we could just get it down to 25, it would be good. Now the studies show that academic achievement really doesn't improve until you get down to about 15 in a class. The only problem is if we did that, we'd need about 1 million extra teachers that we don't have. I don't even know if that would be possible to have class sizes that big. School size. One of the big arguments against why high schools have failed is that they're like huge factory schools. And a lot of districts have moved to break them up into smaller schools. Now I know in New York they're doing that. They're breaking up some of the larger schools and forming smaller schools. I don't know if it makes that much difference if they're all still in the same building. Like, what is it, legal studies and choir school? Right, they just say, oh, well, choir school stops here and legal studies starts here. It's still one big school. So school size is another one. One of the other proposals that's been made is that high school should be voluntary. You shouldn't have to go at all if you don't want to. Now, the argument there is that current schools are not. One of the problems in current schools is there's a bunch of people there who don't want to be there. And they're not making the learning environment any better, any easier. Right? So the argument is, get the people who don't want to be there out. The people who do want to be there can learn, and that'll be good. In Japan, high school is voluntary. High school is voluntary. High school is voluntary in Japan. So move there. Yeah, wait until you see how much a hamburger costs. All right. Okay, so one thing you can do is you can make the day or the time or the year longer. Change the time. Area number two, change the curriculum. Change what you study and how it's presented. Some of the things that came out of our institute were affirmative cases that said we should teach multiculturalism. That mnemonics should be integrated into the curriculum. That students might want to have experiential learning, learn by doing. Right? You would go study government by creating a model government and walking through it. Mock trial, things like that, experiential learning. One of the other proposals I read about was to integrate the curriculum. So instead of studying things separately, we study science, we study English, you know, we study civics, right? Instead of separating things, you would put them all together. Because clearly, morals and government and literature have a lot to do with each other. Have a lot to do with each other. You can learn a lot about morals from literature. Well, maybe not so much about morals from politics, but you can learn what not to do in that instance. Depends on what the meaning of is. Another proposal is that we should have student-centered curriculums. Student-centered curriculums. That is, we should design courses of study around what students want to learn. So find out what students want to learn about and teach them about it, and they'll do a better job of learning about something if they're interested in it. One famous class in New York that was the student-centered curriculum was called Hip-Hop 101. Hip-Hop 101. Well, look in the handbooks, you'll find it. When it says experiential learning, in the experience, student-centered learning is bad part of the handbook. There's a bunch of stuff that talks about Hip-Hop 101. The reporter who went to watch it didn't like it too much. So that all the things that go into making hip-hop culture became a part of what they would study in a way to understand the world through topics that interested students. Science is a good place for there to be an integrated curriculum, because they say, like, well, there's chemistry, and there's biology, and there's physics, and there's earth science. I thought that was earth, wind, and fire. But anyway, you got it. So as if they're separate. And what happens is, what is it? You do biology first. Let's see, in America, you do bio first, chemistry, earth, and physics comes last, right? All right? Well, what they want to do is just integrate that and have you study all four sciences your first year. See what I mean? All four sciences your second year. So they build on one another. Because they all share the scientific method, they all share experiments, they all share math, right? And so those can be integrated. Yes?
Yeah.
FU1. I don't know what those are. Oh, man. Well, I'm saying that you should be studying them throughout. Because you're not, like I wasn't ready for chemistry when I took it. I was totally out. I flunked chemistry. Okay? Sorry. And guess what? I'm a college professor and I flunked chemistry. Second time I took it, I got a C. And I was like, yeah, I'm out of that. And I can't tell you anything about the periodic table of elements. Nothing. All right, yes, sir.
All the science in 1 year, that won't be easy.
Well, you would study the introductory, you would study introductory chemistry, physics, biology, and then in the next one you would study intermediate of those, see what I mean? Instead of getting all the chemistry in 1 year and then never talk about it again, you know how it is. Sometimes after you're out of a course, you forget about it. But they said if you would integrate them together, that wouldn't happen. Because you'd have to remember it, keep going through it. So, integrated science will never be adopted. Want to know why? Because the physics professors say if they had to teach first year students, they'll quit. Because the physics teachers get the older students now. And the bio teachers, now the bio teachers are all in favor of it. Thank God I won't have to teach those freshman students all the time. Here's some other things. In this broad area of curriculum, there are just other things that students should be taught. Maybe they're not taught now. Conflict resolution skills. There's a lot of conflict resolution courses are now being offered in schools. And many people say it's an excellent skill that reduces violence and prepares students for real life. Sex education. Not all schools have it. Students get an education anyway, I understand. They're, you know, the media to our rescue, right? Health education, like how to do self-exams, how to watch out for your future health. Bilingual education, if students have a native language other than English, should they be taught in that or should they be forced to learn English? Special education, if you have challenged or quote, handicapped, unquote, students, should they be in a separate class or should they be mainstream with the other students? Then there's the other form of that, right? Advanced placement.
Yeah.
Let's take the students that we think are smart and put them up here, and then the students that we think are stupid and put them down here. Now, if you tell somebody they're stupid often enough, they may start believing you, right? So I think that's a really dangerous thing. Tracking. You know, we'll track all the students so that we guarantee that the elites emerge as the elites and the worker bees emerge as the worker bees. Finally, here's a good addition to the curriculum.
Debates.
There was probably no evidence. If you need evidence on how debate would be good for the curriculum, ask Professor Wood. Area number three. That means I'm getting closer to six, and that's what I've done, by the way. Area number three is evaluation. Evaluation. We talked earlier about evaluation problems in school. Kids who get low grades get discouraged, and they stop trying. If you try hard to get a C minus, why should you keep knocking yourself out to get a C minus? Right? So the grading, in many ways, is kind of arbitrary. It's not a good measure of learning. It discourages students. Teachers play favorites. So the some kids get better grades than others do. So this evaluation thing would say that grades, the grading system needs to be changed. And if the grading system was changed, students would learn more. Standardized tests. Some affirmative cases will say they're bad, and we should get rid of them. Other affirmative cases will say, no, standardized tests are good. For example, for graduation, everybody has to pass the standardized test or you don't graduate. Right? And in Texas, that's something you're moving towards. Replacing how students get evaluated, doing away with multiple choice tests, moving towards things like writing essays or portfolios, Like a portfolio shows your work. I've been studying school reform, and I have a portfolio of all the research and the things I've found about school reform, and you demonstrate your work. Instead of them locking you in a room and giving you a piece of paper and a pencil and say, here, choose A, B, C, D, or E, or all of the above, and then we'll know whether you're educated. So you can either say, those kinds of tests are good or bad, or you can say we should move towards different kinds of evaluation, like portfolios. So anything that's about evaluation, for example, that you have to pass a test before you can move on to the same grade, people complain now about the problem of what's called social promotion. Like you're not doing good enough work to move from one grade to another, but they move you on anyway because they don't want your feelings to be hurt. That's why kids end up graduating and they don't know anything. They're worried about their feelings. I'm worried about their feelings. I don't want them to be educated. That's what's important. So evaluation. How about grades for extracurricular activities? You heard about that one? Then you should get grades so that people who are involved in extracurricular activities can get credit for it. Like debate. You're learning a lot from debate. You should get credit. You should get grades. Maybe. Area number four, professional development. At the heart of the education process is the student. And in the American system, next to the student is the teacher. I expect there to be affirmative cases, or there should be, about the role of teachers and the preparation of teachers in America. So you can have an affirmative case that says the way to improve academic achievement is to get better teachers. Do you think you would learn more if you had better teachers? Okay, thank goodness you have your debate coach, right? Yes, sir. Professional development. That's what Alan Iverson is going through. So, for example, the affirmative plan could say teachers need to be better trained. And so the federal government would say in order for teachers to teach a subject, they need to be trained in that subject. And that's not true in America. There's a lot of what's called out-of-field teaching, where you have to, you're a teacher, you get hired by a school, you show up there and they say, guess what, you're going to teach math. And you go, man, I don't know anything about math. So the affirmative would require teacher training. Another one would be to require teacher certification, that every teacher has to pass a test. Like if the students have to pass tests, why shouldn't the teachers pass the test? So a teacher has to pass the test and be certified in order to get a job. Another case could be about teacher evaluation. Teacher evaluation. Some teachers can pass the test, but they may not be able to teach very well. Perhaps you've had some of these. I know I have. And so teacher evaluation would evaluate them every year or every other year and see how they're doing. And if they're not, teaching very well, they need to go back for training. They need to be helped. Perhaps they need electroconvulsive shock therapy, but, you know, teachers need help, and you would evaluate them and give it to them. Another affirmative case in this area would be teacher recruitment. Teacher recruitment. One of the criticisms is that the best people aren't going into teaching. The best people are interested in making a lot of money. This is logic. Teachers don't make a lot of money, so the best people don't go into teaching. Fortunately, there are people who love young people and who love knowledge and love education. They're still in there. But the argument is that we should try to increase pay for teachers. We should try to make teaching a more prestigious field. And in that way, we get better people trying to be teachers, and that would improve academic achievement. Okay? Here's some advice debating this topic. Anytime the affirmative says, here's our plan, here's what you're going to do, you should ask yourself the question, what will teachers think about that? Right? Like if the teachers don't want to do it, will they do it? No. Right? If the teachers want to do it, they'll probably do it anyway. If the teachers aren't trained to do it, like somebody says, we're going to have sex education classes for everyone. Okay? How many teachers are in a position right now to have the expertise to teach an effective and extensive class on sex education without getting in trouble? Probably not enough. Right? Number five, site management. Site management. This is what goes on at the school and how the school is managed. If the school is managed well, hopefully there'll be more academic achievement. If it's not managed well, it won't be. Here's some different things that people argue, ways in which we should administer schools differently that would lead to academic achievement. Safety and security measures. Metal detectors, police in schools, screening, uniforms, collars, leashes. And the argument is that if the school is safe and more secure, people will learn more. Peer mediation programs. Peer mediation programs. If there are discipline problems at the school, don't send them to the vice principal. You know, that's the one that handles all that stuff. But have groups of students that help solve the problem before it goes too far. Have student mediation teams. Corporal punishment. A bunch of people in California think that schools would be better if we paddled all the bad students. Smack them. Now, on the other hand, there are some schools that do have corporal punishment, and the affirmative can say, hitting kids is wrong, we should ban it. Okay? So some schools do have it, and some schools don't. So you could either have an affirmative case that says, yes, we should hit kids, or a case that says, no, we shouldn't. Yes, sir? What's that? California has corporal punishment. I grew up in California, so. I was a terrific discipline problem in school. I was always getting thrown out of class, I was always talking. Want to know why? The school was too passive for me. I wanted to be active. I wanted to learn stuff I was interested in. I didn't want to follow orders. So, don't be a discipline problem. Get smart. Take education into your own hands. You're a debater. You're on the right track. Educate yourself. Close campuses. Lock the school off. Don't let anybody in. Don't let anybody out. Single gender schools. Have schools for only women. Schools for only men. They'll learn better if you keep them separate. Homeschooling. Right? Learn at home. Not in school. And there's a big homeschooling movement in America, and you know that there's now a homeschooling debate circuit where students who go to school at home are debating. Cool, huh? Better food. Some people say that you learn better when you have better food, so we should serve better food in schools, and students will learn. Hey, Cedric, excuse me for being interrupted by you. Okay, so these are all ways in which you can manage the site of the school, which supposedly would help. The other one is very much in the news now is vouchers. Let me just tell you what vouchers are. Instead of the government saying you'll send your kid to school, what the government does is they send your parents a check, and that check can only be cashed at a school. So you choose the school you want to go to, and then you go to that school, give them their check, and then you're enrolled in that school. Now, the argument is that if schools have to compete for students, they'll do a better job. If the school's bad, nobody will send their kids there, right? So that school will either have to get its act together or close. So the voucher system says, let's use the market, give everybody buying power for education, and then they'll buy the best education they can. Now, the only problem with that is that a court ruled yesterday that the voucher system, I believe it's in Ohio, is unconstitutional. Because you can cash that voucher in at a religious school, and we're supposed to have division between church and state. I don't know why the money says he's got any trust, but division between has got money on everybody's side. So that, you know, there are voucher systems. I expect this to be a very popular affirmative case. It's very popular amongst a lot of right-wing educational theorists and pro-market theorists. Area number six, and finally, Now, there are a whole lot of other things that might improve academic achievement. Weird things. Crosswalk safety. Well, if you get run over on the way to school, you won't learn much. So we'll have better crosswalk guards, and that'll be academic achievement. Head Start program. Now, if we put every three-year-old in a Head Start program, then by the time they get into high school, they'll have more academic achievement. Remember how vague these terms were? I mean, you can think of a lot of weird stuff that might improve academic achievement. How about distributing free picture books to children at the age of 5 and 6? You know, there are studies that show that if children just have books to look through, they learn much faster, and by the time they're in high school, they do much better. When you have children, please read to them. It's a great thing you can do. But, I mean, what kind of affirmative case is that? We're going to give millions of books to five-year-olds, and that's going to improve academic achievement in high school. So I've just got this whole sixth category as any other wild thing you can think about that might improve academic achievement. So that's category number six. Use your imagination. Let me just finish by saying this. Debate sometimes likes to focus on arguments that are about debate. They're sort of traditional kind of debate arguments. And you're going to encounter them. We want to prepare you for those. Arguments like, is it better to have the federal government do it or the states do it? Or arguments like, how will this affect Clinton's credibility and his ability to have good relations with China? These are like debate arguments that will come. I want to encourage you, since you have the opportunity, to focus on arguments about education, because it's where you are, it's what's relevant to you, and maybe if you understand education better, you'll be in a position to make sure that when you have kids and they go to school, you can get involved to make sure that their education is better than yours, and you can do that by making sure that they join debates. Thanks. Yes.